Morning, church. Good to be back with everybody this morning. Good to be back in God's house. Yeah, that's awesome. Unclouded day. Well, that's something to look forward to. Praise His name. That is awesome. I think about that every time that song's sung, and how that God has got a place prepared for us that we cannot even imagine. It just blows my mind sometimes. I'm going to be over in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read one verse from over there, but the main part of my text this morning, I'm going to be in 2 Kings, and I'm also going to be in Isaiah. I'm going to be in 2 Kings 18 and Isaiah 38. But to start off this morning, if you find Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and the 27th verse, when you get there, let's stand, if you can, this morning. Let's read God's Word together this morning in honor of His Word. Hebrews 9, 27. Again, very familiar scripture. Anybody's been going to church any length of time, a lot of scripture is very familiar, amen? Anyway, Hebrews 9, 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Very simple. Let me read it again. I know it says this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to give You the praise and the honor this morning, that Lord, it's only that You deserve. I ask You, Father, this morning, Lord, that You go in amongst us, Lord. And Father, that Lord, as I do all the time, Lord, I pray for the anointing this morning, Lord. I pray for hearts and minds to be opened this morning. And I ask You, Lord, to show us Your Word. Give us what You have to get out of it, to dig out of it, Lord. And Father, we will always give You the praise for it all. We ask it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. And amen. You may be seated. Amen. I titled my sermon this morning, Tim had asked me this, and you'll get the gist of this here in a little bit. What would you do with 15 more years? What would you do with 15 more years were added to your life? What would you do? And we'll get to that here shortly, but as the scripture I just read to you, still tells us everyone without exception, every one of us, at some point in our lives, has an appointment date that is set up for us. Sometimes in our lives, set up for them. They won't have this appointment on their phones. It won't be on their calendars. But this appointment is made for you. You won't have to call to make this appointment, because this appointment is automatically made for you the moment that you were born. It's automatically made for you. You don't have to worry about calling about it. Your appointment date can come at any time in your life. No one's going to call you and tell you you have an appointment scheduled for blah, blah, blah this day. That's not what this appointment's about. This appointment, you're not going to get a call telling you when it is. When it comes to you, it could come when you're very young, it could come when you're very old, and it can come with any time in between that. I've seen it all down through the years. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You still have an appointment. You still have this appointment. And it doesn't matter if you have other plans on your schedule. Doesn't matter. Whenever this appointment comes, this appointment supersedes everything else. Supersedes everything else that you can imagine. It doesn't matter. This appointment is made for you. You won't have to worry about insurance or co-pays with this appointment. You won't have to worry about it, because whenever this appointment is not about that. The only thing that matters whenever you come to this appointment, and has already been said, and I'm glad Teresa sung that song, is whether or not the blood has been applied to your life. In Hebrews 13:12, it tells us this: wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with what? With His own blood. That's how you're sanctified, is through His own blood. Now, there's only been 4 recorded incidents in the Bible where no one has to worry about this appointment. Listen to this. Enoch in Genesis 5:24, we know that one. Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, Melchizedek in Hebrews 7:3, and also there's one more. You know what that one is? You know what one more is? Well, it's over in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you know what that is? It said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But then get this, then we which are alive and remain shall what do? We shall rise up, we will be called up too. We won't, that appointment there, that's different. That's not the appointment I'm talking about. If the Lord will allow this morning, I would like to talk to you about a special individual in the Old Testament. That's what I would like to get to this morning, who was the only one that I've ever read about that changed his appointment. Amen? That God allowed him to change his appointment. Move it out to another appointed time. And God did that. Someone who is mentioned in eight different books of the Bible in the Old Testament. And also he's mentioned in the New Testament as well. He's mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Well, and I'll talk to you about how God blessed him and how the God that he had made such a special, he had such a special relationship with God that even when he was terminally ill, he prayed and God gave him 15 more years on his life. Most of you know who I'm talking about. I'll get to it here in a little bit. You probably guessed, but now I'm talking about King Hezekiah. And we're going to talk to you about, yes, he had a special relationship with God. He did. And God blessed him because of it. But what did Hezekiah do that made him so special before God? What did he do? I think that's worth studying, don't you? I think it is. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to start right there first off. I'll give you a minute to turn there and read some verses of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 18, we're going to read verses 3, then we're going to jump down to verses 5 through 7. I'll encourage you all here in just a little bit. He said, say amen when you get there. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Now jump down to verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like unto him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him and prospered him whatsoever he went forth. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now, I want you to catch something right here whenever in verse, what it said. And he prospered him whithersoever he went forth. Do you know what that means? Translate it out. This is what it says. He was successful in everything he did. Wow. He was successful in everything that he set out to do. I don't know about you. But I say wow because I pray that God would ever let me do that. I've never been that way, Mary. Never have I ever been that way. That no matter what I set out to do, that I was successful in it. Not everything. But God allowed this man, it says, whatsoever he set out to do, he was successful in it. Isn't that an amazing statement to say about somebody? Isn't it? How would you like that for God? How would you like to be that to be said about you? I'll tell you, I would like that to be said about me. Like I said, it never has. How would you like to be said that no matter what you how successful you were as a parent down through the years? How would you like to be said that about you all the time? I can't say that all the time. How would you like that to be said about you as a grandparent? How would you like that to be said about you in the job that you're on? How would you like to be said that about the marriage that you're in? That no matter what you set out to do, everything that you set out to do, you were successful in it. Hezekiah was. He was successful in everything he set out to do. The Bible tells us he was. But what made Hezekiah so special? What made him say this? That after him, that the Bible says, like I read, that after him there was none like unto him among all the kings of Judah, nor any before him. Well, there were two things that he did. And I think that we need to study these two things, and I think we need to highlight them, and I think we need to understand them. In verse 1, in number 1 in verse 3, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. If you want to translate that out, not just when he was king, but all his life. He was 25 years old whenever he became king of Judah. 25 years old. Do you know who his father was? It was King Ezra. And King Ezra was evil. King Ezra was very evil. As a matter of fact, he sacrificed his children to a God. He did children's sacrifice. That's what he did. This is what Hezekiah come up through. But praise God, Hezekiah didn't let that determine what was going on in his life. Hezekiah said he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, no matter what was going on around him. Can I tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, that's what God wants us to do. We may live in a nation today that you may consider evil. You may consider that it's going down, in which it is. You may live around people that are, you may be in a family where people are evil, where people are not serving God. But you know what? God says that you can live and you can do right. You can. It isn't based on what other people around you are doing. It is based on what you are doing with God. Not when he did not become king until he was 21. Listen, the Bible tells us that he did that that was right in the sight of the Lord, and he did it all the time. Not even in the kind of evil environment he was in. Folks, shouldn't that be an example to all of us? Should it not? If you want God's favor, can I give you a simple way to say, always do what's right in the sight of God. You want God's favor in your life? You want to be blessed? Always do what's right in the sight of God. Hezekiah did. That's what it says. Don't try and please men. You please God. Do what's right in the sight of God. Number two can be found in verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He trusted in Him. Do you know what that says? The translation, that translation doesn't even do it justice. If you look at it, it should read, he put his whole trust in God, the God of Israel. His whole trust. He didn't trust in anything else but the God of Israel. That's what it says Hezekiah did. Everything he did, he knew God could be trusted. Can I ask you this morning? And this is just, you know this. You know within your heart. Do you trust God in everything that's going on in your life? Huh? Do you trust Him for everything that's going on in your life? Totally trust Him. I'm not talking about putting up a facade. I'm talking about, do you totally trust the God of Israel, the God that sent His Son down here to die on a cross? Do you totally trust Him to do what's right in your life? Do you? Hezekiah did. Now, I'm throwing some stuff out there for you because I'm going to get to something here in just a little bit. He trusted God with all of his heart, with all his soul, with everything. And brother says, I'm telling you, I'm going to be the first to admit, as your preacher standing up here, I'm not standing up here telling you that I'm some kind of a super Christian, because I'm not. Because it's hard for me to do that sometimes. I know it's hard for you to do that sometimes. It's not. I'm not throwing it on you and trying to put a blame game on you. I'm just telling you this is what Hezekiah did. Now, I'm going to read some scripture to you. It's over in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And again, you've heard the scripture before. But this scripture has a promise attached to it. How many of you in here believe that whenever God makes a promise out there that he'll keep to it? I believe it. Let's read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And this is the promise. Now, what's it say? He shall direct thy paths. That's the promise. If you do this, if you trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, my Bible tells me he shall direct your paths. That's a promise. That's a promise from God. If you trust God from the bottom of your heart, if you don't try to figure out everything on your own, and if you listen to God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go, He will keep you on track. He will keep you on track. That's what made Hezekiah special in God's eyes. That's what made him special. Now, if you would want to be successful in everything you do, I would highly recommend that you study the life of Hezekiah, and that you would do your best to emulate what he does. Can I have an amen? Amen. If you want to be that cat, always do what the Bible tells us is right. Always trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm just warming up. I'm not even into what I really want to preach on this morning. Because God has been showing me this stuff now for this past week. And now let's turn over to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, verse 1. Starting with verse 1. I want to read to you an amazing story. Isaiah 38, starting with verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, that thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how that I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will add unto thy days 15 years. Brothers and sisters, that is amazing. That is amazing scripture. Amen. Let me ask you something. I'm going to get it again. Let me ask you this question. What would you do with 15 more years if God granted you 15 more years to live? What would you do with it? Amen. What would you do with it? I'm saying this morning because I believe it's important to understand this. You see, as we see the scriptures, God sends the prophet to Isaiah to tell him to get your affairs in order because your life is coming to an end. Your number has been called. Your appointment day is coming up. But as we see, Hezekiah wasn't ready to die. And he gives God a 32-word argument about why he shouldn't die, about why he shouldn't take him, and why God should let him live, and why God should let him live and serve him. Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. So that was the answer that he said to him. God, he prays this. He's weeping. And Isaiah, God sends Isaiah back to him. We know the story. He said, go and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, God of David, I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears, and behold, I will add those 15 years. You see, Hezekiah said to God, I would like to serve you a little longer on this earth, and I would like to make it count. That's the question. That's the question I want to ask. If God granted you 15 more years on this earth, would you make it count for him? Can I have an amen? Would you make it count for him? Can I ask you another question? And this is for everybody. I'm not trying to pick on that one. But if God looked back on your last 15 years, Belinda, could God say, man, she deserves another 15? I'm not picking on you. I'm just asking. How about you this morning, Doug? God looked back on 15 years, and he would say, you know what? Does he deserve another 15 years on this planet? And what would you do with it if he gave it to you? What would you do if he gave it to you? I'm telling you, Hezekiah was the guy that could pray the prayer that he prayed. I couldn't pray that. I couldn't say, oh, God, you look, God, you know, Dave Long's been perfect this last 25 years or whatever. Dave Long's done. I couldn't do that. But Hezekiah did. Hezekiah did. And God knew that Hezekiah was speaking the truth. He knew it. He knew it. And he granted Hezekiah 15 more years. And we see God gave him another 15. Listen, what would your argument be? How compelling could you be? God, give me another 15. You're just not going to say, well, God, just so I could live another 15 years. That's not what I'm asking. You're going to have to give a compelling argument to why you could serve God another 15 years. Why you deserve to serve God another 15 years. Now, he wasn't talking to... Hezekiah wasn't lost. Hezekiah was a good man. He was a righteous man. And I'm talking to a bunch of Christians in here this morning. Are good, righteous people. But if God allowed you to live another 15 years, Could you make a compelling case? Could you make it? God, these last 15 years, yeah, I know, but I've done this. Could you make a compelling case to God to give you another 15 years? What would your argument be? What if God reviewed your last 15 years? What would he see? Have you been a good steward with what God's given you? Let me ask you that. Have you been a good steward? And would you be serious about using the next 15 years to serve him with all your heart and all your soul? Would you be serious about it? Hezekiah was. He was serious about it. Would you be willing to use your time and energy and your resources to serve God in the way that he wants you to serve him? Now remember, God gave Hezekiah 15 years of life because he had made the most of his life beforehand. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not so sure I could say that. I mean, maybe you feel better about yourself than I do. Michelle, I don't feel that good. Huh? Could I make a compelling case? God's been dealing with me this past week about that. Could you, Dave, make a compelling case? Well, you're the preacher. Preacher doesn't make any difference on this thing, brothers and sisters. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a preacher or whether you're the janitor, what you do. It's whether or not you've been the steward of God, that God has given you the stuff to be the steward that he's given you with. I'm telling you, that made me think. That made me pause for a little bit and think about this. He had not wasted his life. Can we say that? Have we wasted time in our life sometimes? Well, what's being a good steward mean? It goes beyond our finances. I want you to understand that. It goes beyond that, although that's part of it. Are you a good steward of your family? Have you been a good steward with your family? That's for you to answer. I can't answer that for you. Are you a good steward of the job that God has given you? Have you been a good steward of that? Are you a good steward of the church that God has allowed you to attend? There's a lot involved in being a good steward. You understand that? It simply means being a good representative on behalf of something that you're promoting. That's what it means. Are you promoting? Has your life allowed you to promote God the way that he has wanted you to promote it, that would allow you to have another 15 years, if that's the case, Ben? I can see where I have failed miserably sometimes. I don't know about you, but I can see where I have failed to be the proper steward, to be the proper representative sometimes that I need to be. So Ephesians 5:15-17 says this: "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Listen, we live in evil days, but God's still telling us we need to redeem our time. Redeem our time. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." What the will of the Lord is. One translation puts it like this: don't live carelessly, unthinkingly, and make sure you understand what the master wants. Can I have an amen? That's what he wants. Are you making the most of your time? Are you making the most of your time? 2 Timothy 2:21 says this: "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work." For every good work. Have you been the representative in your life that God has wanted you to be, so that if you come down to that time right now and God says you got 15, you got another week to live, and you're wanting to plead the case to where you want him to give you 15 more years, have you been the representative that you need to be? Huh? That's for you to answer. That's for you to answer. You can say, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm going to go on home." Well, praise God for that. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm asking you, if you got down to it, Have you lived your life up to this point in time that God says, I'll give you another 15 years? I'll give it to you. I mean, it's just, he did Hezekiah, and we look at that and we think, well, my Bible tells me he's no respecter of person. Right? Hezekiah centered his life around God. We know that. He wasn't self-centered. In Matthew 22, 37, 38 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. That's what God requires of it. He wants us to love him. He wants us to love. Our first love should be him. Our first love should be him. He'll take care of the rest of it. He'll take care of the family stuff. He'll take care of all the other stuff around you if our first love is him. If our first love's not him, then what is your first love? What is your first love? He knew what God would expect. He knew it. If God would give us, he wants this from us. Also, I believe God wants us to contribute something back. Don't you? If he would give us 15 more years, if he'd give you that, he would expect you to contribute something back. How do you know that, Dave? Well, 1 Peter 4:10 says this. As every man has received the gift, even so ministers the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man has received a gift. What gift is that? That gift is salvation. That gift is eternal life. He's given that to you. God expects you to pass that on to somebody else. He expects us to do that. Psalms 116:12. What shall I render unto God for all the benefits towards me? Have you ever felt like me that sometimes this is a lopsided thing? It's God. It's God given, God given, God given. He don't give, and me hardly ever giving back. I'm not talking about money. I hope you understand that. I'm talking about a lot of different avenues here. And have you ever felt that way? This preacher's felt that way. There's an old guy at 14th Avenue, you say this all the time. He said, I know if I feel this way, there's others in here who feel that way. Amen? There is. There's others. And that's why I say that. What would I do? And the last thing I believe God wants us to do, God wants us to tell everyone about him, about in this world, that God loves them. There are some things you won't do in heaven. Do you understand that? You understand there's some things that aren't going to happen in heaven. You won't pray in heaven. You know that? There are going to be no prayers up in heaven. You won't die in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. You won't sin in heaven. And you know something else you won't do in heaven? You won't witness in heaven. There won't be no need to witness in heaven. So where do we need to witness? Right here on this earth. Right here. But this side of eternity, God wants us to spread the good news. It says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. If God would give you more time, he wants you to do three things. Witness, witness, and witness. He wants you to tell everybody what God has done for you and what he has done for others he can do for you. Amen? He wants us to witness to people. He wants us to do that. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. And all things are of God, and who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, and to wit, what that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors. You see how Paul did that? He said, you've been reconciled. Brother, now you're the ambassador. You go tell everybody about this reconciliation. We're ambassadors through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. If someone, now I want you to understand this. This is important. If someone had a cure for cancer or a cure for dementia and didn't share it, did you know it's criminal? It's criminal. All right. We have the cure for sin. Do you think it's criminal for us not to share it? James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen or oh my. If you're not willing to do what God would want to let you do, to live another day to do it, what makes you think that he would give you 15 more years to not witness to anybody? Amen. To not spread his love? God wants us to be the witnesses that he has put us down here to be. Let me close with this. Would it be your honor to allow God to give you 15 more years? Like I said, I've titled the sermon, What Would You Do If God Give You 15 More Years? I hope and pray, if you're like me, as I hope and pray that he doesn't use my last 15 years to judge me by, or my last 66 years to judge me by. Because you know what? I hope and pray that if I stood up, I could stand up on my own merits and say, God, I want to do this for you. I want to do this for you. I want to visit more. I want to pray more. I want to go to church more. I want to do this more. I want to do that. Because God, you're the one that's my all in all. I just prayed this morning. I hope you understand what I'm talking about, what I'm preaching here this morning. Brother says, if you're a Christian and you would die today, you're going to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm asking, though, is, what if God, you as a Christian, God give you 15 more years? Would you be able to stand and say, would you be able to make the argument why you need it? That's what I'm asking. Let's get a song this morning, Belinda. If anybody has a need here this morning, I pray that you'd come this morning. And let's get up around this altar and let's let God stir our hearts and lift us up and draw us closer to him. Amen.